The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various websites and emails that I've received in the past week. Starting off with AFB, picking up where I left off last week, reading about a comparison of two e-readers. The Zoomax e-reader sports a few more keys, which sometimes provide more options for getting things done. Again, the Zoomax is slightly larger in every dimension than the HumanWare machine. On its top surface is the 8-dot keyboard, again, the 6 braille keys of a Perkins-style keyboard plus backspace and enter. There's also a space key located between dots 1 and 4, as on a Perkins brailler. The keyboard is slightly elevated, about 1/4 inch higher than the rest of the top surface. As on the HumanWare e-reader, you will find the 20 cursor routing buttons in front of the keyboard and the 20 braille cells in front of those. On either end of the 20 braille cells are 3 display buttons, arranged in the pattern of a braille cell, with 3 on the left and 3 on the right. These keys provide a variety of functions, including panning text. The front edge is a slightly slanted design so that its bottom edge juts out toward you. Along the front edge, moving from left to right, are 11 controls. These keys are all very tactually distinct and perform a variety of valuable functions. Most significantly, they provide multiple options for panning text. On the left edge is the SD card slot, and on the right are the USB-C and USB-A ports, as well as the buttons for on and off. One very nice distinction of the Zoomax machine is that all of the left and right side ports and buttons are identified with permanent braille symbols. So, what does an e-reader do? Maybe your sighted friends or family members talk about reading on a Kindle Paperwhite or a Kobo Libre. These are electronic readers, flat tablet-style devices for downloading and reading books in print. Our NLS e-readers perform exactly the same functions for people who read Braille. If the idea of refreshable Braille is new to you, imagine having a room full of books in one handheld device. The braille scrolls beneath your fingers 20 cells at a time. You can manually go forward or back, called panning, on braille devices, or set your e-reader to auto-scroll at a speed which is comfortable for you. Navigation controls make it possible for you to move forward or back by line or by page, or entire braille volume. You can bookmark your favorite poem, or paragraph, or recipe to return to it again and again. If you are the kind of person who likes to have 3 or 4 books going at the same time, a novel, a cookbook, your favorite book of prayers, your e-reader will keep your place in all of them when you power off. If reading on a braille display is new to you and you just want to start reading and save the technical steps for later, a sampler cartridge has been prepared that makes it easy to load a bookshelf of books into your e-reader automatically. Using the cable provided, you simply attach the cartridge and let the e-reader automatically load your sample library. If you don't have internet access or just aren't interested in downloading for yourself, you can ask your library to load books of your choosing onto cartridges as a matter of routine. Don't worry about space. You can put a few versions of the Bible, all the Harry Potter books, a few bestsellers, and still have plenty of room for more on your e-reader. If you should begin to run out of internal storage space, which is unlikely but always possible, you can add books on SD cards and or flash drives. These are e-readers, not e-writers. You can copy, move, and delete books and files, but there are no editing capabilities on either unit. Logging in. If you are a person old enough to remember life before computers and the internet, and remember the days of waiting for those precious braille volumes to arrive in the mail, it is then safe to say that the ability to browse, select, and download a multi-volume braille title in a matter of seconds is nothing short of dazzling. Where you once had to concern yourself with where all 13 volumes of that new mystery or romantic saga was going to fit in your tiny apartment, you can now bask in the knowledge that your e-reader will enable you to download dozens of such books and to flip forward and back from one to another at a moment's notice. The first step, of course, is signing on to your wireless network. This is relatively straightforward on both units for most people, but if you do run into difficulty, a simple text file containing your wireless network's name and password can be loaded onto your e-reader for an automatic solution. Similarly, the first time logging into NLS BART is mostly straightforward, but when problems do arise, this too can be accomplished by loading a simple text file onto an SD card or flash drive. After you have logged in for the first time, as with other devices accessing BART Mobile, future logins will be automatic. You can search by recently added, most popular, or by subject. You can search by title, author, or keyword, just as you can on other mobile devices or on your computer. You can add books to your wish list or go directly to your wish list for downloading. One important distinction regarding all browsing and searching with the NLSE reader is that BARD will show you only those titles which are available in Braille. If, for instance, you are browsing one day on your computer and add a plethora of new titles, both audio and Braille, to your wish list, the e-reader will show you only the Braille titles. Since the e-readers display only Braille and have no capacity to play audio, this particular feature can save time and frustration. Once your books are downloaded, no wireless connectivity is needed. Your e-reader, which can fit into a large pocket or small bag, will allow you to take your library anywhere, even remote locations with no internet. What else can it do? In addition to accessing all downloadable books and magazines from NLS BARD, the NLS e-readers both have the capacity to access NFB Newsline. This free service offers over 500 newspapers and magazines. Imagine being able to read your local newspaper or any other on the same day that it's published, and being able to navigate by section, headline, or paragraph with ease. When your friends are talking about an article just seen in a popular magazine, chances are that from either NLS BARD or NFB Newsline, you will have access to that same publication in Braille. At this writing, the HumanWare e-reader also provides access to Bookshare for members of that service. Bookshare access for Zoomax will be implemented at a later date. Finally, you can also use your e-reader as a window of sorts for other devices. Attached to your computer running JAWS or NVDA, your e-reader can provide a Braille screen of sorts. Paired with your iPhone or iPad, it will make it possible for you to read everything that comes to that screen, as well as making it possible for you to write text for email or text messages or any other iOS apps. The NLS e-readers are distributed by NLS Network Libraries. At this writing, more than 40 states have received their machines and are distributing them to patrons, and plans are to add the remaining 8 states by the end of 2023. So this is a very old article. If you are a patron of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, you can request an e-reader by contacting your regional library. If you don't have their contact information, visit the NLS website and follow the Find Your Library link. There was a time when blind people were woefully excluded from the joys of reading books, magazines, newspapers, and contemporary documents. Now those who read Braille can carry hundreds of publications and other documents with them in a refreshable Braille device that is distributed without cost to every eligible blind or print-disabled patron. That is a true story of equality rising. ACB.org has issued a statement on the death of the Buffalo immigrant that was detained by ICE and released in a frozen situation. Statement from the American Council of the Blind on the death of Nurul Amin Shah Alam, posted March 2nd. Statement from the American Council of the Blind on the death. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, is deeply saddened by the death of Nurul Amin Shah Alam, a Rohingya refugee. I looked that up. Rohingya is a displaced ethnic people from the Burma-Myanmar community that was subjected to genocide. A Rohingya refugee who was blind and died in Buffalo, New York, shortly after his release from federal custody. People who are blind or have low vision, like all people with disabilities, deserve to be treated with dignity and provided reasonable accommodations in their interactions with government agencies. Serious questions remain about the circumstances surrounding Mr. Shah Alam's death, including whether his disability and communication needs were appropriately considered at each stage. ACB urges a full and transparent investigation into what occurred, with particular attention to how disability-related needs were addressed. The review should identify clear steps to help prevent similar tragedies in the future and ensure that policies and practices fully protect the rights and safety of people with disabilities, including those who are blind or have low vision. For information about reasonable accommodations and the rights of people with disabilities in interactions with immigration enforcement, refer to this website link, https://www.ice.gov/leadership/OCRC/disability-access#main-content. Posted on March 3rd, the ACB has National Consumer Protection Week. The Federal Communications Commission, FCC, wants to help you avoid scams and protect yourself during National Consumer Protection Week and beyond. On Wednesday, March 4th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, the FCC hosted a webinar to share information about telecommunications consumer protection topics and resources. This webinar was recorded, and the presentation slides will be shared with all registrants after the webinar. To register, you have to click a hot link. The Commission will highlight the topics below throughout the week, and we hope you will consider helping to spread the word. You can find resources to share with your communities in the NCPW Toolkit, National Consumer Protection Week Toolkit, Federal Communications Commission. Stop unwanted calls and texts. Illegal robocalls, spoofed calls, and scam texts are the FCC's top consumer complaint. They're not just annoying, they are often also fraudulent. The FCC is committed to protecting you from these threats. Learn about the most popular scams, how to block unwanted calls, and how to report scams by visiting fcc.gov/robocalls. Beware of the long con scam. That message that says, "Can you talk?" may not be as innocent as it seems. It may be a scammer trying to start a long con scam. While the scam starts small, it builds over time while the scammer earns your trust. Learn how to spot a long con scam and how to protect yourself by visiting fcc.gov/long-con. I was subjected to one of those in 2016. Find romance without the scam. Romance scams are among the costliest in terms of victim loss. As a long con, scammers take their time to build up trust, hoping their efforts result in a bigger payday. It can be very lucrative, since 62% of singles want a committed, exclusive relationship. Be aware of the red flags and learn how to prevent these scams by visiting fcc.gov/how-avoid-romance-scams. Kids' first phones. If you're responsible for a young person, you know the pull of a first phone is hard to resist. The FCC has tips to help new smartphone users protect themselves and use a phone wisely. You can learn more by visiting fcc.gov/your-kids-first-phone. Special numbers for important occasions. Calling or texting 911 for emergencies has saved countless lives, and there are several other short, memorable, and helpful numbers like it. The FCC makes it easier for people throughout the country to reach emergency services and non-emergency aid. Find a list of these numbers and the services they connect with you by visiting fcc.gov/consumers/guides/nationally-assigned-3-digit-numbers-N11. Get help and take action. Visit the FCC's online Consumer Help Center at the hot link to obtain information about telecommunications issues that affect your day-to-day life. The Consumer Help Center has resources that help you address various telecommunications concerns. You can file a consumer complaint, share your story, and help us track the issues that matter most to consumers. Questions? Email us at outreach@fcc.gov to learn more or schedule a meeting with the Consumer Affairs and Outreach Division. From the ACB again, American Council of the Blind applauds introduction of the Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act, posted March 5th. American Council of the Blind applauds, et cetera, et cetera. At Dateline Alexandria, Virginia, the American Council of the Blind applauds the recent introduction of the Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act, Senate Bill 3974. For people who are blind or have low vision, access to websites, mobile applications, and online services is essential to fully participating in education, employment, healthcare, commerce, and civic life. Yet inconsistent standards and limited enforcement have left many digital spaces inaccessible. The Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act would establish clear and forcible accessibility standards for websites and software applications. It would also create a technical assistance center and advisory committee to provide guidance on compliance and best practices, helping businesses, government entities, and developers ensure that their digital platforms are accessible to people with disabilities. The Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act would provide the clarity and consistency that businesses and consumers alike have been asking for, said ACB Executive Director Scott Thornhill. By establishing clear standards and meaningful enforcement, this legislation will help ensure that people with disabilities, including people who are blind or have low vision, can participate fully and independently in every aspect of our digital society. The Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act is one of ACB's legislative imperatives and a focus at the 2026 DC Leadership Conference. ACB has worked with partners across the disability community to advocate for the bill's passage, emphasizing the need for uniform, enforceable standards that clearly state websites, applications, and online services must be accessible to people with disabilities. ACB urges Congress to act swiftly to advance this critical legislation and ensure that digital accessibility becomes a consistent and enforceable reality nationwide. About the American Council of the Blind, the American Council of the Blind is a national member-driven consumer organization representing Americans who are blind or have low vision. With 65 affiliates, ACB strives to increase independence, security, equality of opportunity, and to improve the quality of life for all people who are blind or have low vision. For more information, visit www.acb.org. From NFB.org, Distinguished Educator of Blind Students Award. Honor a teacher who provides exemplary education, experiences, and opportunities for their blind students. Every year, the Distinguished Educator of Blind Students Award recognizes an outstanding teacher of blind students. The education of blind children is one of the National Federation of the Blind's highest priorities. Please help us recognize dedicated and innovative teachers who provide quality education and meaningful experiences and opportunities for their blind students. Eligibility. Anyone who is currently a teacher, counselor, or the administrator of programs for blind students is eligible. Applicants do not have to be members of the National Federation of the Blind, but attending the NFB National Convention is required. Nominations. Applicants can be nominated by colleagues, parents, supervisors, or friends who have firsthand knowledge of the individual's work with blind students. Please complete the online Distinguished Educator of Blind Students Award application. The application deadline is May 1st, 2026. If you are submitting a nomination for someone other than yourself, please answer the questions to the best of your ability. Your experience and observations of the nominee will assist the selection committee in their decision. Questions? Contact Carla McQuillan, McQuillan, by emailing Carla at MainStreetMontessori.org. The Distinguished Educator of Blind Students Award is presented at the NFB National Convention. Honorees receive an expense-paid trip to attend the convention, a check for $1,000, a commemorative plaque, a place on the agenda of the annual meeting of the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, the opportunity to attend seminars and workshops that address the current state of education of blind students, as well as a chance to meet and network with hundreds of blind individuals, teachers, parents, and other professionals in the field. Frequently asked questions. Who is eligible for this award? Anyone who is currently a teacher, counselor, or the administrator of programs for blind students. Does an applicant have to be a member of the National Federation of the Blind? No, but attending the 2026 convention of the National Federation of the Blind in Austin, Texas, is required. Can I nominate someone else for this award? Yes, applicants can be nominated by colleagues, parents, supervisors, or friends who have firsthand knowledge of the individual's work with blind students. What is the deadline to submit an application or make a nomination? All applications must be received no later than May 1st, 2026. For more information, please contact Carla McQuillan, chairperson of the Distinguished Educator of Blind Students Award Committee, at 541-915-0896 or by email at carla@mainstreetmontessori.org. This one from fightingblindness.org is kind of long and may finish out my show. Honoring Karen Petrou, P-E-T-R-O-U, a visionary leader and champion for the community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness community mourns the loss of Karen Petrou, our board chair, who passed away after a private battle with liver cancer. Throughout her many years of service to the Foundation, Karen was an extraordinary force for progress, advocacy, and hope for everyone affected by inherited retinal diseases. Of all the roles Karen held in her distinguished career, from co-founding a prominent financial services firm to advising Congress and international institutions, it was serving as board chair of the Foundation Fighting Blindness that she cherished most. Karen often said it was the highest honor of her life, a joy and privilege that gave her profound purpose. For those of us who had the honor of working alongside her, we know that the privilege was entirely ours. Karen's journey with the Foundation began where so many of our stories do, with a diagnosis. At 18, she was told she had retinitis pigmentosa and would be completely blind by 25. The prognosis proved devastatingly wrong. Karen didn't lose her ability to read until her 30s and didn't require a guide dog until she was in her 50s, testament to how little was understood about the natural progression of inherited retinal diseases at that time. Rather than let this define her limitations, Karen went on to build a remarkable career as co-founder and managing partner of Federal Financial Analytics, becoming a prominent voice in financial services policy, testifying before Congress, and advising institutions from the Federal Reserve to the International Monetary Fund, and many other governmental, industry, and academic groups. Like many people experiencing progressive vision loss, early on she was coping the best she could and trying to hide her vision issues. But as she once reflected, the experience of having people doubt her capabilities, both because of her vision impairment and the sexist attitudes she encountered in business, became good combat training that strengthened her resolve. It was her mother's gentle persistence and a chance neighborhood connection with longtime Foundation Director Moira Shea, S-H-E-A, in the early 2000s that brought Karen and her late husband, Basil, fully into the Foundation fold. They attended visions conferences and trustee meetings, impressed by what they saw. As Karen's retinal disease progressed, their conviction grew that the Foundation represented the best path forward for advancing treatments and cures. What began with engagement and generous philanthropy evolved into Karen joining the National Trustees in 2004 and as a board director in 2008. Karen became board chair July 1, 2024, making history as the first female board chair in the Foundation's more than 50-year history. She stepped into this role at a pivotal moment, as the Foundation entered what she and CEO Jason Menzo called FFB 3.0, a new era building on the foundational work of co-founders Ben Berman and the transformative leadership of Gordon Gund. Karen had been preparing for this role as executive vice chair since July 2023, working closely with retiring board chair David Brent, the board of directors, and the Foundation's executive team. She expressed deep honor at stepping into the role and excitement about building on the incredible progress made under David's leadership to accelerate the development of treatments and cures. What impressed Karen most about the Foundation was its disciplined approach to research. The experts, science advisors directing all investments, and the Foundation's leadership in exploring innovative ways to fund biomedical research. Under her leadership, the Foundation achieved critical milestones that will shape research and patient care for years to come. Karen championed the board's approval of a 5-year science strategic plan that dramatically broadened the Foundation's research focus. This included a commitment to late-stage vision restoration research, personally meaningful to Karen and critically important to thousands living with advanced vision loss. As scientific advances demonstrated the possibility of restoring vision, even for people who had lost significant sight, Karen was determined that the Foundation would invest in making it happen. She was passionate about ensuring that research and clinical trials reflected the full diversity of the IRD community, pushing for more inclusive genetic research across different ethnic backgrounds, and emphasizing the importance of diverse representation in clinical trials across gender, age, and ethnicity. Perhaps no initiative better exemplifies Karen's strategic vision than BioBonds, House Resolution 3437, the Long-Term Opportunities for Advancing New Studies, LONES, for Biomedical Research Act. Working with Basil, Karen helped conceive and champion this bipartisan legislation designed to accelerate treatments and cures through creative federal loan guarantees for biomedical research. The bill represented her deep understanding that there's more science out there than there is money to fund it, and her determination to solve that challenge through financial innovation and policy change. It took years of late-night financial modeling and financial engineering, as Karen called it, to make the concept practical, but their persistence has the potential to advance many more treatments and cures, including those for eye and retinal conditions. Karen never forgot what it felt like to receive a frightening diagnosis from well-meaning but often ill-informed ophthalmologists. She and Basil even funded research to study how doctors delivered IRD diagnoses. The results deeply troubled them. This experience fueled her commitment to improving patient care and ensuring newly diagnosed individuals found connection and hope through the foundation community. Her message to anyone affected by vision loss was consistent and powerful. Engage, connect, and don't fear. She spoke often about people with vision loss contributing in the foundation's work in their daily lives, in schools and professions, in truly successful and important ways, with meaningful private lives. Her own life stood as testament to this truth. Karen often noted the poignancy of vision, both literal and metaphorical, in the work of the foundation. Some of us don't have an awful lot of sight, but we have a lot of vision, she said, and I think we can realize it. I truly do. That vision included transparency and accountability to the community, ensuring donors and stakeholders understood how their contributions were being used. She was unwavering in her belief that funds raised through the foundation went to science and were stewarded to maximize efficiency. It meant closer connections between foundation staff and local communities. It recognized that the foundation's work extended beyond funding research to supporting people through the anxious and distressing experience of vision loss. She had an unwavering belief that treatments and cures were not just possible, but imminent. In one of her recent public appearances, Karen reflected on the foundation's evolution and her hopes for its future. She spoke about the importance of staying up to date on research, engaging with the community, and maintaining the momentum toward treatments and cures. She believed that everyone in the community had a right to understand not just what the foundation was doing, but how it was using every dollar contributed and raised. Her leadership philosophy was grounded in inclusion, innovation, and the fundamental belief that the foundation's mission belonged to everyone it serves. She worked tirelessly to ensure that all voices were heard, all forms of IRD were represented in research priorities, and all stages of disease received attention and resources. There are three more paragraphs, but I'm running short of time. Leading the foundation while navigating significant vision loss herself required extraordinary courage, the kind of courage that comes from the heart. Every interaction with Karen revealed this profound strength of character. The intention, determination, and grace required to chair board meetings, guide strategic decisions, and champion a global mission while experiencing the very condition the foundation works to cure. Her courage in the face of her own vision loss inspired others. Her strategic brilliance helped chart a course toward a future with treatments and cures. Her compassion ensured that no one walking the path of vision loss would feel alone or without hope. And I've run out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoy the reading, and I hope you join us next week. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.